Hello, everyone. This is Donovan LaCroixie. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Hip Hop, Let's Talk R&B, Let's Talk What's Going On in the Community. And debuting with me over the phone, I've got actress Jennifer Popigan. How you doing?
Hey, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You're already like a friend. Okay, you are a friend of mine. Because
I am a friend.
Yeah, because you were asking, we were even talking before this interview, you know, how was your holidays? And, you know, you were so excited to even want to come on this platform. First of all, I got to thank you because it's only you were the one, you know, to give the green light to say, yes, I'm coming on the platform and I love the show. So first of all, I've got to thank you so much for debuting on this podcast.
Of course. Yeah, I'm glad to be a part of it. Thanks again for reaching out to my team.
And of course, and you said you've listened to the podcast and you love it.
I do. Yes. I've also listened to your morning mixtape show as well. It's great.
Yeah. And that's listeners. That's the radio show. And she did the radio show, the morning mixtape for CJRU 1280 AM, which I work at as well. But I wanted you to introduce yourself because you are an actress, of who you are and how you got started into acting.
Sure. Like you said, my name is Jennifer Popigan. I'm originally from the Chicago area. I started out actually in community theater in Northwest Indiana, regional theater, and then did some stuff in Chicago and then started doing film work and TV in Chicago. And then I've always wanted to live in Los Angeles anyway, actually. I was like 8 years old. We visited my aunt who lived out here. And I came here, I remember, even before I got into acting and stuff, and I looked up at the palm trees and I'm like, Mom, I'm going to live here one day. She's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then, you know, as I got into more acting opportunities, I decided to make the move to Los Angeles because that's where I wanted to be. And obviously there's, you know, a lot of opportunity there, and I've been there ever since, and I love it here.
Mm-hmm. What about people that say, you know what, I want to be an actor, I want to be an actress one day, and their mom and dad are laughing, saying, no, you're not going to be, and then next thing you know, it happens. Is that kind of, because you were saying your mom and dad kind of laugh, you're not going to live here, and then look at you now.
Exactly. you know, it's just one of those things, you know, it's a definitely, an up and down career. You know, it's definitely not parallel or, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, but you know, it's a really great journey. And, one of the things I love most about being an artist or being an actor, you know, musician, whatever you are, is that no two people have had the same exact experience in getting to where they are or where they want to be. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool. So people can share their experiences and, you know, and what may work for somebody else may not work for you. So it's really all kind of figuring it out, which is really cool and fun for me, at least.
Mm-hmm. So if you had another actor or actress ask you, what would make your journey different as an actress from me, what would you tell them?
I would say I probably would have started earlier. I would have been a child actor, but then again, maybe I would have been in trouble if I did that. So.
Oh, don't say that. No, but you know what? There's some child actors and actresses. Look at Drew Barrymore. She turned out well. Look at Tia Mowry and Tamara Mowry, the twins. They turned out very well. There's a lot of child actors and actresses that turn out very well. But maybe, okay, maybe when you start off so young, do you find you can know the business more versus when you start older? How do you feel the differences when you're older? Do you find you go into it blindly, or it could be the opposite?
It kind of depends on where you are in your life and what's going on. I mean, definitely if you're older, you have more wisdom, you have a little bit better of a, excuse my language, a bullshit detector, versus when you're a child. So, but, you know, going back to Drew Barrymore, I mean, she did for several years have a lot of substance abuse issues and things like that. But yes, you're right. Thankfully, she did turn out really well. I think she's a great actress and she seems like a really cool person too. So, I mean, I guess in a way I'm sort of glad I didn't turn out as a child actor, but I also wonder, like, if I would have, would I, you know, have done a lot more? Do you know what I mean? So, but I'm kind of glad I did. did it the way I did it.
But it's not too late. It's not too late
No,
because you, what do you call it?
never.
It's not too late. But what do you say to people that they feel it is too late? I'm in my 30s and the roles are limited, or my late 30s, or I'm in my early 40s and it's really limited in the acting pool.
No, it's so not true. It's so not true. I mean, people, want you to believe that you have to be in your 20s and thin and beautiful and this junior or this, leading man. And there's just, if you look at TV now, especially, it's become so much more diverse. And even commercials, you see more real people, real looking people, different character types. And so I think that that's really opened up a lot in the last few years. And I think that's great. And I think that this is something you really want to do. You'll find a way to do it. And if you don't, you'll find an excuse not to.
And what do you say to the young, what do you say to the young actors and actresses that are making an excuse to saying, well, I'm not getting the call, the agencies keep rejecting me, or they say I need to change this or change this headshot, or my face is too, you hear the agencies, what do you tell them?
You know what? I say, first of all, this business is full of rejections. You're going to get way more no's than yeses. Even top A-list stars, they've been through it. It's a journey. It's definitely a marathon in most cases. And, you have to do a lot of self-evaluation and talk to people that you trust in the business and really kind of figure out your marketing technique and kind of how you want to portray yourself in the business. Like, are you more interested in being a character actor? Are you more interested in being leading lady, leading man, action star? Kind of, you have to kind of just figure out what you really want to do and then just go for it, And you are going to keep getting rejected. It's just going to happen. It's part of the business, and you just have to keep rolling with it. If this is something you really want to do, and if that's something that really bothers you or you really can't handle, then maybe, unfortunately, maybe the business is not for you. It's just something that you really have to believe in yourself to do and keep moving forward. And if not, find something else. I remember, in fact, it brings me to this, one of my first acting classes here in LA, the teacher walked in and said to us, if there's anything else in this world that you want to do besides acting, go do that. Because this is a very tough business.
It seems harsh though, but now looking back at it, it probably is true, right?
Yeah, it was. It really was. Especially coming from a theater background, and going into TV and film, obviously they're two different mediums. So I always like to say when I came to LA, they beat the theater out of me because theater is much more bigger performances and more grand gestures. I remember my first on camera classes, they're like, pull it back, okay. But you learn, and it's cool. And then I always recommend to people take improv classes because a lot of commercials auditions now too include improv. So you really have to be on your feet and be, I don't want to say quick-witted, but really be ready to play the scene, play, just be, have fun. That's the thing, people forget to have fun because everybody gets so serious and like, oh, I want this and I want this and and that's great, but you also have to have fun because if this isn't fun, at least at some points, you're not gonna do well, and you're not gonna keep going forward with it.
How can you have fun though? Okay, and I'm gonna pick on you in this because for the first interview we did, you didn't tell me how many commercials you've been in, and you've got more commercials on the way. Jennifer, I'm disappointed,
Sorry, you didn't ask me about commercials, in all fairness. We just talked about TV.
That's okay. That's okay. But I was shocked because you've been in a lot of commercials, and I know you were talking about being on your A game in commercials, but not really, but having fun with it, not being too serious.
Yeah.
But do you want to talk about some of the commercials you've been
Sure.
in case listeners want to know?
Sure. I mean, you can be my demo reel on IMDb. I've done a lot of let's see, I just did an ad for Single Care, which should be coming out. I did JD Wentworth, Lumosity. I did something for Walmart. That was a while ago, and I can't think because you put me on the spot. Don't
Well,
look at my demo reel on IMDb, people.
but you know what you did? Okay, college commercial. I think the college commercial was your favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yes. Do you want to talk about it a little bit more?
Sure,
Yes.
sure. Sure. That was for Bellevue University, Nebraska. I remember flying to Nebraska, and absolutely nothing to do. And I'd just gotten over a really bad breakup, and I was just like, oh my God, you know, you know, I was happy I got the job, but at the same time, I was so like miserable. But I tell you what, that job really, really helped me so much. I mean, everybody on the production was so nice and so professional, and I just had such a great time just being with everybody and doing what I love. And that really kind of took me out of my funk. And I remember flying home thinking, God, you know, that was the best thing for me at that time. And I had this cute little boy who was my son. I remember he was so shy. Like he was so afraid. It was his first project ever. And, I started playing a game. We were in a grocery store and I started playing like a little game with him. Like, I don't know, it was something with cans, and he got so excited. And I remember, one of the PAs came up to me afterwards and was like, you know, I really loved how you made him feel comfortable on set because he was so scared. And I'm like, oh, that made me feel good. But he was just so darling.
Well, you're strong there, eh? You're strong.
Yeah, yes. I try.
But you know what other commercial you did? You did the singles, what do you call it? The singles commercial.
Oh, how God, you... yes.
In case
that
you
was
never
funny,
know.
Actually.
There may be people looking, there may be listeners out there looking for love. They haven't found their soulmate in 2021.
Well, that commercial I almost died on because the guy who played my, who's actually a good friend of mine, a guy who played my partner, we were, both of us, it was our first time paddleboarding ever. So we're out, you know, in Malibu, and we're both on these paddleboards. We're like, oh my God. And then all of a sudden this current comes and I'm like, oh crap. So our director was on a boat, like kind of by us with a GoPro camera. And so he was like trying to get to me, and then I just kept going further and further out, and I couldn't get back. And I was like, oh my God. So I was like freaking out. And then, you know, it was just really funny. But I was like, great, I'm going to die on this dating commercial. Wonderful.
But you got through it. You got through. You see, there were so many commercials. I didn't even know you were. Do you like commercials more, or do you think you would do more commercials, or you still want to stick with the TV and movies more?
In the film, you know, commercials are really fun to do, but I love the meat of a character. So that's obviously more prevalent in TV and film because you get to play a character. Whereas a commercial, it's just like a little 30-second. I mean, it's a character, but it's like a little 30-second thing, and boom, you're done. You know, I like the fact that TV and film and the audience can get to know your character and grow with your character and learn about your character as you go through this process of the series or the film. So I think, that's definitely more what I love, but I mean, commercials are really fun to do like in the meantime as well.
What's the hardest?
I just had a really fun audition today too for a commercial. I can't say what it is, but it's heavily NDA.
Oh,
so I can't say.
Oh, you can't, Jennifer, you can't give us a little exclusive or no?
Well, I can tell you that I'm yelling at this creepy guy who breaks into my house. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, okay. It was it an NBA player or no?
No. It was a guy dressed in a very funny costume, so we'll leave it at that.
But shouldn't that commercial have came out in Halloween?
You know, it's not that kind of costume.
Oh.
That's really all I can say. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. We should look out for that commercial in the near future, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, hopefully, you know, like I said, I just auditioned for it today. So, but it was really fun to do regardless. Like, it just, you know, stuff like that makes you realize like why you get into this. You know, it's fun to play a character. And even the, like, in The Bottoms, which is going to be coming out later this year, it's a film that I did. It's about kind of the underground of the Detroit area, like with the criminals and, you know, politicians. It's kind of along the lines of The Wire show, which is a great show. Mm-hmm. I play a female hit woman, which was really fun. We haven't finished shooting yet, but I love that. And even that was super fun to play because I love playing those, you know, people don't expect a female hitman, you know. So that was even cooler to have that premise.
Wow, a female hit woman. Wow. So you, did you kill everyone?
I killed one person so far. I'm threatening to kill more.
Okay, Jennifer, just don't put that out there louder, okay?
Okay. right. I promise. I
But
promise.
do you think you'd like more roles as like the psychopath or more, what do you call it, where you're really in people's face and you're holding that knife till blood comes out of, what do you call it, and you're like, don't ever mess with me again or I swear I'll kill you.
You know, what's really interesting is my parents kind of go, they look at me strangely because I like the darker side of things. Like Silence of the Lambs is one of my favorite movies. And but just those kind of characters, like I always wonder why. And it's a whole psychological, it's psychological curiosity I have. Like, why do people do what they do? Even watching the news, I kind of have like create a backstory kind of for people. And it's just like, what makes people do these crazy things? And as a character, you get to explore that. But hopefully, if it's a well-written show or film, you get to explore that really in depth. And I like that. But I also like, being the funny next-door neighbor, who's just kind of clueless and silly. I had a reviewer one time say to me about my acting range. He said, Jennifer is the girl that can either hand you a plate of cookies with a smile or stab you in the eye with her stiletto heel. So I love that. I really love that. And it's pretty accurate. So I think, having a variety of roles is great. I do tend to go more towards the drama.
You're a drama. You're a drama girl. Okay.
I'm a drama girl, not a drama queen, drama girl.
But would you ever see yourself like maybe on like FBI or Chicago PD or
Oh,
Chicago Fire?
yeah, I definitely. I had an audition actually a few months ago for 911 Lone Star with Rob Lowe, so
Wow.
that was fun.
How was
Yeah,
that? Did you get it
that
or
wasn't.
not
I
really?
did not get it. I did
Oh.
not get it, but it was cool to have casting first of all call me in for that, which is great, and also just kind of get the feel of the show a little more by doing the audition. So yeah, I'm sure I'll have more auditions like that,
Now, if
and I
you
look forward to that.
now you look forward to that. Now look forward to that. Listeners, I have to sometimes watch my words. She looks forward to that. Okay. Now, if you had a show you could be on that's on prime time, now what show would you be on?
Oh gosh, there's so many. American Horror Story is obviously one of my favorite shows.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's just different every season, and it just has so many cool characters and so many interesting storylines. But I also recently got into Insecure. That's a great show, and I actually watched it because I had an audition for it recently. So I'm like, oh, this is really a great show. And I love Issa Rae, and I just really think she's a great writer and a great creator. And I look forward to see more of what she does. But also, on the other end of that, I would love to be on Superstore. I think that's such a fun show.
You remember you and I were talking about that for the first interview. I could see you on Superstore playing
Yeah.
like you come in and you're shopping, and then what's her name? America Ferrera's like bothering you, saying, "Ma'am, you can't buy that. No, you can't buy. I
Yeah,
have the
back of the
perfect
cart.
seat." You see, and we were talking about that. Remember the first thing I said, I could see you like on Superstore. And okay, if Will and Grace was still on today, maybe I could see you guest starring on Will and Grace sitcoms. You know what I'm saying? Sitcoms, I could see you guest starring on. And another one, I forget. Oh, it's a Spanish sitcom. I forget. Mr. Iglesias, I could see you on that. And the
One
other
day at a time, I've heard.
One
I
Day at a
put on.
Time. Yes, I could see you on One Day at a Time as well too, if that's still on. I don't know. I think it only got three seasons, one day at
Yeah,
a
I'm not
time.
sure about that.
But you know what, I also, since you're a drama girl, why don't we, what do you call it? What about The Young and the Restless, or like The Bold and the Beautiful, or General Hospital? Maybe I could see you playing a lawyer on General Hospital.
Yeah, I would that'd be fun to play like a lawyer or a doctor on one of those shows. I think it'd be great. Yeah, that'd definitely be fun. I would be totally open to that, seeing how the soap opera industry works. Because I haven't done a soap yet. I've done a web series soap, but not, network soap. So I'd be love to see that. Especially they have such a grueling shooting schedule. They have to do learn so many pages of dialogue, each day, and I think that would be really good. actually to be able to learn how to do that. Because, sometimes you have so long dialogue, and normally if you're lucky, obviously scenes are cut up and you don't have to do the whole thing. But I think we talked last time about theater. That was the good thing about theater is, you have to memorize the whole play, because you do it all the way through every night. And that I think really helps train your muscles. So it kind of like when you go to film and you do these little takes, it's like, oh, no big deal, because it's such shorter increments of things, versus the whole production at once. So
Now I always ask people, which one do they like better? Do they like the theater more, or do they like the film and TV more? Because some actors and actresses say they do not like the theater world. Why is that?
I mean, the reason I love the theater world is because, you have the energy from the crowd, first of all, and that's really important to an actor. Like it feeds you really while you're on stage, and I think also it just, being with a bunch of people sitting around watching you. I'll be honest, it appeals to my diva side. I'll be totally honest.
You're a diva?
I like being watched. And not in a weird way, but you know what I mean. but the cool thing about TV and film is, you get to do things over again. So, whereas in theater, if you mess up, that's it. Like, you're screwed up. You're like, oh, crap. But yeah, I mean, in theater, I'm sorry, film and TV is much more intimate too because you have the camera, camera's closer on your face and, however. So, and really, I enjoy both, actually.
So you enjoy both. So what do you say to people that are having trouble memorizing their dialogues, memorizing their lines at this time? And I know I've asked you this before, due to COVID-19, there's a lot of stress for actors and actresses. Being in a crowded room, filming a scene is no more for now. What do you say to actors and actresses that are having trouble memorizing their lines?
Well, first of all, I mean, everybody has a different way of memorizing things. Some ways work for others. There's memorization apps out there that can help you. I always do it in chunks. I memorize in chunks. So, like, I'll memorize like one paragraph, and then I'll go to the second paragraph, memorize that, and then go back to the first, and just kind of like build upon that. So, I think that's easiest for me, but that may not work for somebody else. So I think it really depends on like your study habits and your focus and concentration and things like that. It's really a variety of factors, but you'll get it. You'll figure out. You just need to figure out a way that works best for you. But again, I think some of the other actors have said that, and I don't know the names of them offhand, but there are some memorization apps that can kind of help you with that. Other people record their lines into their phone and then listen to it and then memorize it that way.
Wow. I didn't even know you could
So,
do that.
yeah. Yeah, just do like voice memo or something and do it that way. I don't particularly like that, but it works for some people.
So you, what do you call, you're pretty good at memorizing your
I,
lines,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that comes from my theater background. That's one good thing I have to say. My foundation was in theater and memorizing was obviously a big deal. So, that definitely worked that muscle for me. So I'm grateful for that.
Do you think it's important that if you're, let's say you're young, do you think it's important to go to theater school? Because some actors and actresses haven't gone to theater school. Can it help you? Like, you of course would say yes, but what if I hadn't gone to theater school?
Honestly, I don't think it matters. I didn't go to theater school. I went to a regular college. I went to Purdue and I got a degree not in acting. So, I mean, there's plenty of actors out there who've not gone or, done something else or not even graduated high school. I don't think that matters at all. I mean, yeah, there's certain things that look good on a resume, but that's not going to necessarily get you a job.
What do you think are the barriers why some actors and actresses don't make it in the acting world?
I think a lot of them give up too easily and too quickly, like to give themselves a timeline. You can't give yourself a timeline in this business. I'm sorry. I mean, unless you're one of those people that has to have a timeline, it's really not going to work for you because, like, For example, have you watched Schitt's Creek?
Yes. And by
Because
the way, shout out, most of those cast members are Canadian and it's filmed in
yay!
Uxbridge, Ontario. Listeners, I live in Ontario, so it's filmed there. Sorry, your point.
Awesome. Great. It's one of my favorite shows too. And Annie Murphy, to play the daughter on there, before she got that job, she hadn't booked a job in 2 years. Yeah. So, it does not matter. You just have to keep going. You have to believe in yourself. You have to, work your skills and just kind of, and really, you have to let go of the outcome. You have to go in and book the room. So, book the job, try to book the job, book the room.
Can you explain more
And
about the outcome in case listeners would say, what do you
sure.
mean outcome?
Sure. So, like, you could say you go in and you're like, oh, I really want this job. I really want this job, which is great. But you can't be so like attached to that. Like you just have to go in and do your best because so many things in this business are out of your control. All you can do is, put forth your talents, put forth your energy, and do the best thing that you can do. And that's all you have control of. And then you walk out of that room and that's it. They could, not hire you because of the simple fact they already hired the leading man and he's, 6 feet tall and you're only 5 feet tall and they want someone taller. I mean, so many things out of our control. You look like the director's ex-wife who he hates.
Well, that's drama. Okay, but if you are not picked, let's say if I'm okay. I am 6 feet, almost 6'1", but let's say if they wanted a taller man, because let's say they wanted someone 6'2" or 6'3". But let's say, but I nailed this. I really had this. Why are you guys being so picky? This role is for me. Should you continue to beg the director to change his mind, or like you said, take your losses, take the experience, and move on?
I mean, if it's something you're really, really, really passionate about, maybe talk to your agent first before you do that. But I view every audition as an opportunity. Every audition is an experience. I always learn something each time I go into a room. Well, not going into a room now, but every tape I do, every scene I read, always learning something. And it's again, it's a building process. You build upon everything that you do. So you're always learning, always growing. And you will, whatever, I always say, whatever is right for you will find you. You can't miss what's yours.
So you can't force yourself to have that role, right?
Right. You can't. It's out of your control. If it's not yours, it's not meant to be. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And you'll get something, you might get something even better, You gotta just be positive as you can, and just do your best, no matter what. That's all you can do.
I remember, okay, when I was hearing what's her name from Stephanie Forrester, who was on The Bold and the Beautiful, I forget her, Susan Flannery, right? She was, what do you call it, met for that role, Stephanie. And she turned it down 3 times, and they kept calling her, saying, "You are the Stephanie Forrester," when The Bold and the Beautiful started back in 1987. But she returned down the role 3 times, and then she finally said yes, and then she was on that role for 25 years until she retired.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's funny. I actually, that happened to me in a theater production. I did not want. I don't normally do musicals because I don't sing very well. Actually, I sing horribly. But that's besides the point. It was a musical, and the director had worked with me before, and she called me. She's like, "I really like you to play this role." And I'm like, "No, it's a musical. No." She asked me 3 times. Finally, I did it, and I enjoyed it. I really did. It was almost like a, I almost wonder if it was just like a fear thing because I don't do musicals. I was like, oh, I'm not going to be good enough because I don't sing, but I didn't really have to sing too much in this, so it wasn't bad. But I really was glad I did it ultimately.
Why do you think actors and actresses say no 3 or 4 or 5 times and then they just cave in and then they realize, oh my goodness, I love this role?
Well, sometimes, at the moment that you may get that first offer, it doesn't vibe with you, depending on what's going on in your life, whatever, you just might not be feeling it. And then maybe the next time they ask you, maybe you're like, maybe you see it differently. So you're like, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot. And again, maybe it's fear. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough, or who else, if you have other big time actors on the show, you might not feel like you're up to par. It's a million different reasons. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I think that, again, what is meant for you will find you. And if people keep asking you, it's like there might be something there to look at.
Yep, yep, yep. If it's meant to be, it will happen, listeners. And other yep. actors listening who are upcoming to this interview, if it's meant to be, it will happen. Right, Jennifer?
That's right. That's right. Everything. Anything you do, not just acting.
Yes. Anything you do. Now, for, what do you call it? Do you want to say some of the stuff you've been in case listeners are saying in their minds, I still haven't heard what she's been in case they say, oh, what TV show have you been in or what movie have you been in?
Okay. I've been on Discovery ID, Unusual Suspects, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, Deadly Wives. I've done a lot of independent film. I have a new show, hopefully, upcoming. It's called Middle of Nowhere. It's a comedy about a middle-aged woman kind of starting over in life. I play one of her friends. That's still kind of on hiatus, as well as the Bottoms that I talked about earlier.
Yes, yeah.
That's actually, those are both kind of in flux because of COVID, but those are the things I have coming up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm really excited about those.
I think you said you did one audition when we were talking for a soap opera. Did you did you get it or no?
No, that was a couple months ago.
Okay, okay, okay. Well, it's their loss, eh?
That's right. I mean, the CD likes me, so she'll bring me in again, I'm sure.
Okay, now I wanted to get your opinion about a director that said, because you and I were talking about this off interview, mm-hmm. about Russell T. Davies, right? He says it's important for people, what do you call, for example, gay characters, more gay characters to play gay roles. He doesn't think that acting gay is the thing for 2020 into 2021. What are your thoughts about that? But what if they can't find the actor who is a homosexual man or a lesbian woman? Do you think actors should play the actors? Like, for example, if I have a disability and I, well, if I don't, sorry, have a disability and I'm playing a person in a wheelchair, is it right? Or do you think that matters in 2021? Or do you think it's irrelevant?
You know, I love Russell T. Davies. I love his work. And I think you and I were talking before. I think in the past couple of years, I think that's opened up a lot more. You are seeing more people with special needs, disabilities, gay and lesbian, trans, all that on TV and, you know, platforms. So I don't think that should be an issue to find somebody to fill that role. But again, it depends on the production, what they're looking for. They want, you know, something. Sometimes they get super, super specific and maybe they can't find it. I don't know. It just really depends. If they can't find that person that's really, you know, LGBT or, you know, then they may have to resort to an actor to play that instead of someone who is authentically that. But I think now there's really not an excuse for that, because there's so many actors out there and so many, you know, different kinds of people. And, you know, it doesn't offend me, if that's what you're asking, if an actor does play someone handicapped and he's really not, that doesn't offend me. But again, I think that there's way more opportunities out there for, you know, somebody who really can authentically take that role.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, okay, and listeners, Russell T. Davies is a director. He came up with HBO's Max, and he's working on a new AIDS crisis series as well. He's very talented, and he writes a lot of projects. And like you said, you love some of his work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's different, Donovan. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on the people involved, and, you know, it just kind of is what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, obviously, I mean, I think you've seen it as well that, you know, there's way more diversity on TV and commercials and, you know, even, you know, music, you know, now than there ever has been.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So I think, I don't think it should be a real issue. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. Can you ever see yourself writing and directing and being behind the camera? I said I really see you writing and I see you behind the camera, but do you feel that or nah?
You know, actually, a friend of mine in one of my classes, him and I, he well, he expressed interest in writing something with me and performing something, so I may be doing a project with him. But at this point, directing doesn't really appeal to me, but I know it, I've noticed that it seems like as further actors get along further in their careers, they kind of turn to directing. So I think, you know, once I get more stuff under my belt as well, maybe some bigger stuff, I think I might want to direct, try just to try it.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it's not really something that interests me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think you'd write about if you were a director?
Probably some weird, like, serial killer, you know, movie.
Again, like, that's what we said. We like the weird, what do you call it? What about, okay, you could do Psycho Mom. A mom that, you
Psycho
know,
mom.
Is, what do you call it, psychopathic. She loves her children,
yeah.
But she doesn't take crap from anybody. She can be Psycho
right.
Mom. But it can be good. Like, do you ever see yourself writing cartoons, maybe, or writing children's stories?
No.
Okay, well, hey, no offense. She doesn't mean any offense out there to anybody who likes those things, but it's just, no. She
no.
likes more of the, what do you call it, more of the horror sci-fi.
Yeah, definitely more adult-themed stuff, but yeah, it really interests me.
Now, you said, do you do music, by the way, or no?
No. I wish I could,
what?
But... I wasn't blessed with a good singing voice.
But, you know, you have a lot of actors who are musicians, and then they turn over to acting,
okay.
though. I wonder why that mm-hmm. is, eh, Jennifer? They're an actor, and then they want to open up the door to music. How come those two marry each other sometimes, acting and music?
Well, I think, you know, they're both artists. It's all artistry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, you have a lot of actors who are painters and sculptors and, you know, writers. So I think that just kind of goes with it. You know, and you have, you know, soundtracks and music that's in TVs and shows, and maybe, you know, they get an interest from that, you know. And they meet with the producers and the composers and just kind of go from there. It just sort of depends. Or maybe, you know, they started out music and just kind of got tired of it for whatever reason and went into acting and then decided to go back into music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's all, anything creative, I think, just really sort of appeals to a creative person.
Mm-hmm.
They want to kind of sink their teeth in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
and it doesn't mean they're going to do it forever. It's just, you know, something they want to experiment with.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, you're, for your example, you're experimenting with a lot of different roles. Like you said, you've auditioned
mm-hmm.
for many different things, right? So then maybe
yeah.
next time we'll see you behind the director. You can work with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, I think he would, him and I would argue, but that's okay.
Oh.
I like him. I think he's cool.
Kill Bill 5. Kill Bill. I heard
exactly.
there's supposed to be, so supposed to be, actually, we laugh about that. There is supposed to be another Kill Bill movie out, but it's probably
I heard that.
Did you like that movie?
My gosh. I did, but, with sequels, I kind of get like, okay, you know, after like the first couple, it's like, all right, just stop.
Yeah, but you never know. If Uma Thurman reached out to you saying, hey, Jennifer, would you like to work alongside with me with Kill Bill 4? What would you say? I don't know if it's 4 or 3.
Yeah, I think it's, not sure, but I'd be like, yeah, sure. I would put that aside, but normally I don't care for sequels that much because they're never as good as the original.
But you know what, Jennifer? I really forgot to ask, who would you desire to work with that you have not got that opportunity to work with yet?
Male or female, does it matter?
Male, female, what do you call it? Young, old, middle-aged, don't matter.
Yeah, I would love to work with Sam Elliott
mm-hmm.
and also Daniel Day-Lewis,
mm-hmm.
Rachel McAdams, Shirley MacLaine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my top people. Obviously, Sir Anthony Hopkins, I bow down to. I love him. I think he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many, but those are probably my top tier people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And since you're from Chicago, there's a lot of Chicago actors and actresses. Any Chicago actors and actresses you would love to work with, or Indiana actors and actresses? Because you know Chicago and Indiana are kind of close together.
I actually would love to work with Gary Sinise in a film. I actually met him several years ago at his band was playing at a festival I was at, and I met him afterwards, and he was a really cool guy. I was like, God, I always, of course, loved him in Forrest Gump. It was one of my favorite roles of his. And he's just so cool and just had such a great energy. I just would like to work with him in like any capacity, whether it's acting or, handing out food to, volunteer work or something. I mean, he just seems like a really cool person. So yeah, I would love to work with Gary Sinise.
You know what I was thinking as you thought about that? You said, okay, handing food to the homeless or the needy, maybe a role for This Is Us guest starring. Justin Hartley's from Chicago too, so maybe you and him could do a scene together, right?
Maybe that would be fun. Yeah.
Shout out
I
Justin
wouldn't mind.
Hartley.
That's right.
All right. So, what do you have to say in 2021 to your fans and to the other actors and actresses that might be listening to this interview?
You know what? After the crazy year we've had last year, we will get through this crazy time. Always learn from things. This pandemic has taught me to kind of pull back and not be so, clutching everything so tightly. You have to just pull back and relax and let the universe work with you instead of trying to work against things. And, I think a lot of times we want to control things and we really don't have as much control as we think we do. And I always say, just put your best forward, your energy, send out love, send out light, network. Just do whatever fuels your soul. Like, I think that whatever makes you happy, it draws things to you. And I've really learned that a lot in the past year, especially. So just keep going. Keep going.
Keep going and
No matter
don't
what you're
stop.
doing.
And don't stop, right, Jennifer?
No matter what you're doing, whether it's acting, whether it's music, whether it's cooking, you want to be a chef, you want to be an all politician, whatever, just do your best. Make sure you're the best.
And for those actors and actresses that maybe want to get in touch with you or have questions, do you want to throw out your platforms in case they say, hey, Jennifer, I have a question for you?
On Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Jay Papagan. I have a website, jpapagan dot or jenniferpapagan.com, if you want to check that out. I'm on IMDb, of course. So yeah, I'm pretty accessible. So I'm happy to answer any questions or talk to anybody if they have anything they want to say, good or bad. But if
Well,
you're a weirdo,
bad. What do you
I'm
mean
going to answer
bad?
it.
Has anybody ever said anything bad to you? Oh, you suck. Or what do you got? Luckily, okay, Jennifer, I'll tell you something. On this show, I've never had somebody write in and say, that was a bad interview. You suck as an interview. What do you got? Have you? Now, there are some actresses that probably have gotten the heat, or why did you say that? Or you suck. What do you got? Have you ever got somebody really hating on you and mad at you?
I did get one girl, this was years ago. I did a film that was in Chicago and she had auditioned for it and she somehow found out that I got the role. And she got my email somehow and she emailed me this letter about how the director was like a psycho and he was just chastising me because he wanted to sleep with me. And just it was this crazy email and I was like, "Oh my God, first of all, who is this?" So I sent it to him and we were just dying laughing about it. And the guy couldn't have been more professional. And more, more sweet. And it was just so funny. But she was just basically mad she didn't get the role. And it was really stupid because it was just a short film. But she got like really crazy. So it was like, all
But
right.
is she in the industry today or no?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
Oh, okay. You never know. Can
Actually, to
we?
be honest, I forgot her name.
Oh, can we work together? Jennifer, you never know after this interview. Can we work together?
I'll be like, no. I do get a lot of weird DMs from guys too, though. Like, hey, are you married? Will you marry me? I get a lot of marriage proposals
Oh,
from people I don't
gorgeous.
know. It is cute. It's cute. But the answer is no.
But you've never had a fancy. You know what? I think you're a terrible actress. I think you need to leave.
No, not yet. I'm sure there will be at some point. And that's fine. You know, not everybody. I have an old acting teacher, actually, who hates Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, wow.
Like, I think he's a great actor. She's like, I think he's terrible. I'm like, okay.
But you're right. You know what? Not everybody's going to like my interview style. Not everybody's going to be for Jennifer Papagen. But for those that really love you, though, even though they really love you and they're anxious, what do you want to tell them? I'm anxious for more projects, but COVID-19 has put a damper on everything. What do you want to say when they just can't wait?
Well, just keep watching my Instagram and my Twitter. I usually keep that pretty updated as much as I can. Sometimes I go silent on them when there's crazy things in the world going on. You know, I have to kind of, break away from that to get off social media. It's just really too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I usually generally keep those updated. So if you just keep an eye on those, you'll see what I'm up to and what's going on.
Mm-hmm. As an actor and an actress, how important is it to take a mental break from social media? Very important, or it depends on the actor and the actress?
It depends on the person. I think it's important to take a break from the world at some points. I mean, really, if you think about it, we have so much going on all the time that we don't even realize. And when you sit back and you like do some meditation or you do like some self-care, you really realize like, God, I was carrying all this stress and this weight. And I didn't even realize it. So I think it's really important to what they call unplug now and then. I really do.
Sometimes unplug people who are in the politics, unplug. Okay.
Oh God. Yeah. Especially that.
definitely need to unplug. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Jennifer, it was such a joy to speak to you. I really enjoyed this interview. As always, you're a friend of mine and you're a friend of the show. Any final things you'd love to tell our listeners in closing?
Yeah, listen to more of Donovan's stuff. He's great. He's an awesome guy. I just want to thank you again for having me on the shows. Really enjoyed, getting to know you and talk with you about, different things. And sometimes you ask me these questions and I'm like, oh yeah, I never really thought about that. So it's kind of cool to do that. Thank you for that.
And I hope I asked you all the right questions. Listeners, I do make mistakes at times. Sometimes I might ask the same question, but I get a different answer. And sometimes the same questions aren't that bad, right, Jennifer? We get a different perspective from an actor or artist or anyone. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm pretty straightforward, unless you ask me something like way too personal and I don't want to answer it. I'm pretty straightforward.
No. This is a professional. This is a friendly show. We love you. You're our friend. We'll definitely have you back. And listeners, if you want to reach me, it's Donovan, Donovan, LACROXI @gmail.com. Tell me what you love. Tell me that I want Jennifer back on the show. And we'll arrange it. We'll arrange it. She's our friend.
Yes.
She's our friend. She'll come back, right?
That's right. That'll be fun. That'll be really fun.
And I am on Twitter, by the way, as well, too. Donovan LaCroixy. I don't really use Twitter unless I'm posting, like I'll be posting this episode to Twitter in case people want to listen. Then I use Twitter, but other than that, I'm not really the biggest Twitter user. So just reach out and, we'll see what happens in the future. But Jennifer, I really, really want to thank you again.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much again.
All right. And listeners, that's going to do it for another episode. This was published January 13th, I believe, 2021. Episode 122. Until next time, take care. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thanks, Donovan. Take care. Bye.